I'm back.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and do I have yet another amazing show for you today? And it is Friday, TGIF. It has been a very interesting, very trying, very tiring, very changing week. Like everything has happened in the last week. So since it's Friday, you know what happens. It means that I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to say and what is going to happen. But we are going to make this show happen. We're going to introduce all of our guests and bring them on to the show. But I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do. And that's right. I want you to turn to your neighbor. I just thought of that one right now. But turn to your neighbor. Tweet them, text them, instant message them, post them. Send out a call, inbox, whatever you have to do, but wake them up and let them know that the Roundtable Talk Show is live, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're sharing the show, I am going to be multitasking, and I'm going to introduce my first guest, Mr. Ace. Call me Ace, and he is a rapper. He works for YouTube during the day. He tops the charts during the night. He had over 1 million streams on his latest album. Good morning, Ace. How are you?
Good morning. Doing good. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. Thank you for joining us. We have to find out all about you and what you do.
We'll definitely talk about it, for sure.
Okay. So it's so much that I want to get into, but I saw 1 million streams, and I was like, I got to talk to this guy, because in today's environment, there's so many people who are like, I can't get any downloads. Nobody listens to me. You know, I put something out and it's really good music, but people only want to talk about the junk and you know, that kind of thing. How does someone like yourself become successful? What is your path? Can you tell us about that?
Well, I definitely appreciate you for calling me successful. I think success is for sure what people make of it. And even before the million streams, I didn't think I was any less successful. I definitely had a vision of what I desired and continue to desire for the music platform that I've been building. And so, you know, when I had one stream, I was like, the fact that I put out a project and I'm getting, you know, one human being's feedback that this is changing their lives, for me, that was success, you know. It was less about the quantity and more about the quality of what it was that I was doing. And so, you know, for the past 4 years, I've just been connecting with people, because at the end of the day, that's what these streams represent. And so, you know, just ensuring that I'm actually engaging with fans, that I'm talking to them, I'm commenting back, I'm, you know, having video chats and phone calls and all that kind of stuff, really engaging. Back when, you know, we were able to do physical events, you know, at my shows, you know, literally being in the crowd and rapping with them in the crowd, having conversations before and after the shows, really making those connections. I feel like that had a really large part to do with it, because, you know, the engagement and the retention with folks that actually come across my music has led them to also share it with other people. And exactly like what you did at the top of the show, you know what I mean? You get one person to share with five people, and then those five people share with another five people. That's really how it goes. Less about buying your way in and more about building your way up.
I love it. I think that's a quote. I think I might have to put that on my Facebook this morning. Don't worry, I call me Ace.
Okay, yeah, I'm a rapper, you can have it.
So how did you get into rapping?
I came from I'm a first generation Jamaican American. My family was very much into the arts, music, drawing, all that stuff. So I actually started with art, which turned into poetry to go with the art, mostly because I was inspired by Dr. Seuss, but also because my mom really loved lyrics. And so she really, you know, finessed my way there. And then it was singing in the choir, back when singing in the choir was a mandatory thing that we all had to do when we were a kid. And then it went to, you know, poetry, and then poetry wasn't cool when you was in middle school, but, you know, the people that I was with, they was rapping. So it was like, all right, let me just throw some music underneath the poetry. And then by the time I was 15, I was rapping. I went to Columbia for undergrad. I started the Columbia University Society of Hip Hop, aka KUSH. And you know, the last thing I did before I graduated was open up for Snoop Dogg in front of like, you know, 26,000 plus people. But simultaneously, I stopped rapping because I didn't like what I was rapping about. A lot of crazy stuff was happening while I was in college. And, you know, I had a come to Jesus moment and I just broke away from it for like 4 years. But I just recently got back into it. Like I said, 2016, end of 2016, after graduating from business school, it was less about, yo, I want to do this to make money or to shine or anything. I actually didn't want to get back into it. I just came back from Barcelona. A homie of mine was like, yo, yeah, I know you about to graduate. I know you about to, you know, get married. I know you about to have like a real job with healthcare and all that stuff, but your story nonetheless is still an important one to be told. And so while you might feel like you don't really have a place in the music space, your unique position actually gives you one to carve out for your own. And so that's how I got back into it. Even the name, I was like, yo, I don't got a rap name. He was like, yo, what's your Instagram set? And it said, call me Ace. And he was like, boom, that's it. Like, don't even overthink it. Just take that and run with it. I was like, yo, that's a little grammatically incorrect. He was like, so it was a Tribe Called Quest. And I was like, bet. And that's how we started it. So, you know, 4 years later, here we are.
I always say that this show is about branding and shameless self-promotion. And when I ask you that question, you just finished sipping. And I'm like, let me see that cup.
a homie bought this for me. Shout out to her. And the Grammy goes to call me.
Hold it up a little bit higher. Okay. Oh, I love it. See? That's speaking it into existence. I saw you. He was like, I'm sipping my little cup. That's good.
It got some really thick coffee in it, let me tell you.
So you talk about your story. Tell us a little bit about your story and what you rap about.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I can give you a prime example right now. So in 2 weeks, my next project will be dropping. It's called Working From Home Extended. It's a continuation of the project that I just dropped in February, the one that, has over a million streams on Spotify called Working From Home. Now, when I dropped Working From Home, the first one, it was before the global pandemic. It was before everyone had to like mandatory work from home. So it just happened to be a coincidence. People was like, yo, how did you do it? Are you Nostradamus? I was like, absolutely not. But with Working From Home Extended, I very much so wrote all the music in the past 3 weeks. And releasing it as a response to actually working from home longer than intended, hence the extended. And you know, the themes in this project is really how to rethink what survival means in this state of a global pandemic, the increase in racial injustice, the social unrest that is very much apparent. So much folks are even more burdened than they were in February. And particularly for our people, I mean, this isn't new. I grew up and like the first memories I have were of Rodney King being beaten. And so this isn't new for us, but a lot of this is in the forefront. We have social media, so it definitely exacerbates the conversation. You know, again, with the whole digital conversations, you have such a polar divide where there's some folks that really aren't even engaged with the things that on the other side folks are engaged with every single second that they open up their phone. And so, you know, dealing with frustration, weariness, hopelessness, while simultaneously one of the mottos that I have is be the light in the midst of darkness. And you know, that's what I strive to do in every single one of my songs, all of my projects. But even in a moment like this, it's so hard. And so how does one be the light when there's so much darkness? And so that's really the theme of this next project. And, you know, I'm actually, so the pre-orders are going on right now. I just launched the rollout and all of the proceeds for this project, I'm actually going to be donating to a nonprofit initiative that's fighting against racial injustice, gun violence, mass incarceration, things of that nature, because that's very much a part of my story. I've been harassed by police. My family has as well. I've lost family members to all of this. And so this is something that's very close to me. And as a believer, it's even more important that, you know, I put my faith in action and actually fight. So with both words and deed, that's what this project is. And that's how I live my life.
That was beautiful. I almost want to just put my fist up. Like, that was just so
Let's do it. Let's do
right
it.
on that. We got them up, you know. I have so many questions, but I'm going to go ahead. We're going to come back to you. I
yeah,
want to
we can come back.
You.
Yeah, I want to, you know.
This is what we do, though. I'm good at this. I'm good at going from person to person and changing it, because believe me, the people who come on the show, they love to talk. But let's get everybody into the
Let's
show
do it.
And on board, and then we'll come back with some more questions. I want to introduce one of my favorite people. Once someone is a guest on the show, I just hold on to them. I won't even let them go. I'm like, come back tomorrow, come back next week. And then before they know it, they have a permanent seat on the Roundtable Talk Show. And our next guest definitely has a permanent seat. And I'm trying to convince her to give me a seat on her podcast. I don't know if it's working yet. But I want to introduce Chandra Gore. She's a publicist. She's a podcast host. She's amazing. We sat on a panel this week and talked about racial issues. Good morning, Chandra. How are you?
I'm good this morning. He got me all amped up. Like, okay, so I'm up here sharing. Like, y'all better be pre-order right now. Look at this. You know, I have everybody like, listen, get on this right now. Like, you... Sir, that's all I, you know.
That's all I can say. What do you have going on, lady?
Right now, I'm finishing up I'm very adamant in my community, very, very present with voter registrations, election information, candidates, all that stuff. So aside from my regular business of operation, I'm training so that I can work the polls again. They have extra training or whatever for COVID-19 and stuff. So I like to be the person at the polls because I want people to feel comfortable so they see people that look like themselves. So that's what I have going on right now, training and getting myself together to make sure I'm able to service people at the polls, and then also interviewing candidates, because I need to know what your platform is so I can tell other people what your platform is and how what you're planning on doing, because you're not going to get a vote unless we know who you are and what you're doing here. This is my fifth year being out there on the ground, trying to get people to understand what the ballot means and what electoral college is and what's coming in November. So besides my regular clients that I'm dealing with, I want the community to understand how important it is to come to the poll. So that's what I'm doing this right now. This morning. So
now, one of the things when we were on the panel that stood out to me, and you and I are a lot alike, I think as a people, let me just say that we laugh to keep from crying. You know, that's one of our strengths. Like we want to cry, but we just can't. So we have to laugh. And we were on the panel discussing race. And when you shared your experience of when the police were called on you, it's like everybody couldn't help but laugh because of the way you told it. But it's true. It's the things that we deal with. So share that experience with us, please.
So I was actually, canvassing for people to register to vote and also find out who was on the ballot. Like, mind you, I had my kids with me. I had the dog with me. I had a clipboard. And I still got the cops called on me because I guess I wasn't supposed to be in this new neighborhood or whatever. So I'm like, my kids asked me why did that happen? And I had to explain to them, like, I'm trying to help y'all who know who's on the ballot and help y'all register to vote. And somebody with a clipboard and three little children and a dog are a threat. Like, I laughed because I was so angry, but I couldn't get angry or react because you don't know what mood the officer is in that day. You know what I'm saying? So I had to be careful because I had my children, but if I was by myself, I probably would have acted out a little bit, but I had my kids that I wouldn't want them to see their mom slammed on the ground or, you know, killed or anything like that. Like, that's what the thoughts were, even though I was out trying to help the community. Like, it just, every time, like, it's messed up. It is so messed up because I was.
You're feeling it. You're feeling it. You're going through it.
Because I really want, I know the house that the lady lives in to this day. I remember exactly what house it is. And I really want to go knock on her door. In my mind, I'm like, I should just knock on the door and ask her, ma'am, what was your problem? Like, what was wrong with you? Like, you what made you think that I was a threat? Like, this was before Karen was Karening, before a thing, but like, really, like, I'm out here trying to help you understand, because where I live, a lot of times we don't have a huge turnout. So that was my goal, was try to get people to use their voice to understand who was doing what that could help them. And yet you called the police on me with.
So what did the police say? What happened? What happened?
They laughed.
Okay.
They rolled, you know how you feel like before you can even say nothing, you see a woman with a dog and three kids and a clipboard that says, register to vote on the outside, you know, National Voter Registration Day on the thing.
Like, I know.
All they could do was just look and be like, really? You wasted my, and normally I'm in a rural area. So think about it. They had to come a ways to come where I was at. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta think about what they're thinking when they're driving to this area. Like, and then and this was a brand new subdivision. Now it's fully developed. Everything is ready. Everything is there. But they just laughed and kept on going. And I realized that I'm used to it because I'm from South Carolina. So that happens. You know what I'm saying? But you would think moving to a progressive, never mind. We got a big old Confederate flag. Never mind.
She said, never mind.
If I say, oh, we're progressive and everything, but we got a big old Confederate flag that you got to pass two exits to get to my exit. So, yeah,
But you know what? You know what? This is what I love. This is what I love. And I'm going to come back to you, Shonda, because I love you to death. I love business. I love entrepreneurs. I love the fact that in 2020, there is nothing that is stopping us, that we can take the steps that we want to get out there and to create jobs and build businesses. That's my focus. That's why I created the Roundtable Talk Show. I always say they wouldn't give me Long Beach City Council, so I took the Roundtable. But I'm going to have a platform to have a voice and to be able to speak. And I love when people come together and create businesses. So I want to introduce all of my next guests who said, you know what, we're going to work together. We're going to make it happen. And we're going to start a company. And that's what they did all together at The Fitting Curve, which helps people with the feminine spirit. So I have Kelly Santos, Stephanie Benson, and Helen DeLenz. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Morning.
You all look so beautiful today.
Thank you. Everyone looks great on the panel.
Thank you. And then I'll say this to my audience, not that I have to, but I will. When I showed up and I saw all the Black people, I was like, yes, all the Black people, because usually if any of you, and I know you all have watched my show, it's usually the majority are white people. And people have told me, they're like, Sharifa, you cater to the white people. You only have white guests. And I'm like, no, those are the people who show up. So whoever shows up, those are the people who are going to be guests. But I love seeing you. I love seeing my people. I love seeing us here united, positive, smiling, glowing today. So since I have three of you for the same company, I would love for each of you to take a couple of seconds or a couple of minutes to introduce yourself and your role at the company. But I would love for someone to explain or to tell us about the company in general first.
Who wants to take it? We have to divvy up.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm Stephanie Vincent. We are all co-owners of The Fitting Curve. This is my literal sister. Kelly is our figurative sister. We've known each other for a very long time and worked in the lingerie business for other people for a very long time. And we decided to take the jump to do it for ourselves with all of our collective experience and knowledge and all the hats that we wear within that industry. Summed it up really good.
Yes, go next. Who's next?
Go ahead.
Well, I'm Helen. Like she said, I am Stephanie's sister. We run the store. Kelly's not here with us because she is in another state. Our hope is to expand and have one where Kelly is at. We've had our store for over a little bit over 3 years now. We actually had two stores, but we are with this one currently. We had one in Vermont, but we closed that a couple of years ago. And yeah, we are here just to help women, just to shine a light on the importance of getting fitted and mastectomy fittings, and also representing for us, because we've worked for other people for so many years in different locations. And it's not always talked about in our community. It's not always pushed to the forefront of the importance of having the right undergarment. And also sometimes depending on the neighborhood of where those stores are located, which is not often, you know, where we are, it's harder to get the help that you need, or it's not as comfortable for you to come in and get a fitting. So we wanted to be here and represent and make it a welcoming space for everyone.
Kelly, it's on you.
So I guess it's good that it ended on me, because this was my crazy idea to get it growing. A few years ago, I was laid off from another role. It's like my favorite job. I was actually in lingerie at the time. And my husband said, you can't just sit at home. And I said, okay. So I called Helen. I said, Helen, you know how we dreamed up having our own thing? Let's do it. Let's just do it. And then we did. That's literally how it started. It was a conversation between friends, and just remembering that conversation and holding to the promise that we would do something together one day. And then we did. And we've learned a lot along the way. We faced a lot of different challenges, but every single time we think we're going to shut it all down, we keep pushing through. Even through COVID-19, we were just like, okay, this is another one. This is another punch, but we're going to take it and still stand tall at the end of the day. I manage most of the operations and the financial aspects of the store, and any of the crazy ideas that come up most likely come from me. Helen is the sanity. And Stephanie is the glue that keeps everything together. Without her, we would not have a store. We would shut it down a long time ago without Stephanie. But the reason that we exist, all of us collectively have worked in every single retail at the most personal level of a woman's experience. So collectively, we've worked bridal, skincare, fashion, high luxury fashion, and even maternity. So literally at all the most critical points in a woman's life, we've worked the sales or at that personal level of their experience. So a lingerie shop is a combination of all of those things at a point, like at every point in a woman's life, even her most sensitive points, if she's had surgery or any crucial functions that she needs to go to, our store covers all of it. So things that we hope to do in the future is create our own line and use our people to do that line. Collectively, we're also all Haitian women, which is another really important factor. Our mothers have instilled in us that undergarments are very important from a very young age.
No other way around it.
No way around it. So that's the other reason that our passion is so, is just into this, because people are like, how do you get into this? Well, my mother is a seamstress.
Right.
And undergarments and well-built undergarments have always been a part of my life. So
that's beautiful. So where is your store located?
We're in Rockville Center, Long Island, in New York.
Okay, so you're in New York. And where are you, Kelly?
Boston, Massachusetts. And people in Boston keep asking me for a store, and I just keep telling them how expensive it is to open a store in Boston.
I can imagine, but New York is, you know, not that cheap.
It's not, but it was when we started a store, we got really lucky. Everything just kind of fell into place. And the landlord that we have really believes in our dynamic. In fact, he pushed someone else out so we could be there because he really believed in our business and what it would do for the block. And in the block that we are, there is the furthest people have to go out, for example, for a mastectomy fitting is what, 30 miles out from where we are to get fitted for it. Like, we had a woman come in our first mastectomy fitting. She waited 10 years.
Yeah. To get
new prosthetics, because there's nothing in the area. It's like a desert for that type of thing. And we were there to provide it for her. She was so happy. She'd been waiting for so long, and she just didn't want to go up the 30 miles to get the next thing, or she didn't want to order online either, because you need that personal touch.
So what exactly is that for our audience who doesn't know what that process is or what that looks like? Would you please explain?
For a mastectomy fitting?
Yes.
So with women either pre or post breast cancer, depending on their decisions and how they're going to move forward, whether it is mastectomy as a surgery to either remove breast tissue, the full breast, or both, depending on the situation and again on their decision. So I am certified to fit for mastectomy patients. So whether they need most likely wireless bras, specific bras with pockets for breast forms, just a comfortable bra, because sometimes there's scar tissue, sometimes there's lymphedema, there can just be a whole array of different things. So it requires not only training and certification, but it also requires a bit more like exemplary customer service, because, you know, winging it by yourself at like a Macy's or Victoria's Secret is not gonna do it for you. So going through breast cancer is already difficult enough, and then finding products that's going to make your life easier and you more comfortable physically is a whole other issue within itself. So our mastectomy fittings are private, they're done after store hours. And we special order things for women all the time. So it is a very kind of, for lack of a better word, hands-on service that we provide within the store.
Yes, but I mean, that's also, like you said, a sensitive time for someone, you know, yeah. So they want someone who is compassionate, who can empathize, you know, because there, like you said, there may be scar tissues and they may also already be feeling unattractive. Yeah. And that may be something that they don't want anyone to see, you know, maybe even their husbands to see. So just opening up to you can be a very vulnerable place for them.
Yes, 100%.
Very interesting. See, I love the aspect of, see, Kelly has the crazy ideas. And my biggest challenge in my company as Sharifa is that there's nobody to say, Sharifa, that's crazy. Don't do this. Like, that's what I need. I need somebody who calms me down, because I come up with, you come up with your ideas at 3 a.m., Kelly, because that's when I come up with mine.
I'll send a text. They're like, why were you still awake? And I explain that I have a toddler and I don't sleep.
I know the feeling. So how did COVID-19 and the global pandemic and everything being closed down affect you, and how were you able to maintain?
Well, we had to close just like everyone else. So that was, you know, a big hit, because the community was just so used to having us here, and all of a sudden we had to shut down. We did get a lot of support, which was amazing, with people reaching out to us, ordering online, especially people in the healthcare business. So what we had decided to do was offer a discount because of the continued support and, of course, for the important work that they were doing. So a lot of customers reached out to us. We kept our social media active. Stephanie is the one that posts everything on social media. Just let customers know what we were doing, the community know what we were doing. And just knowing that, you know, they're here to support us for when we're going to be coming back, which is today. We're opening at noon, and we already have great appointments. So it's just continuing the conversation and keeping in touch with our customers, and just trying to get the word that we're still here, and that, you know, we're very thankful for the support and we want to help them support them as well through this time. Actually, tonight we're going to be on our local news. They are doing a series about the stores reopening, but they are focusing on Black-owned businesses on Long Island. So at 7 p.m. we'll be on the local news and just getting the word out that, again, we are still here. We appreciate the support, and just come on down.
Yeah, and especially with the cases here on Long Island, it wasn't as severe as New York City, but, you know, we're only 20 minutes away from New York City. So our guidelines were a little bit different than New York City's guidelines, but the town itself essentially shut down during quarantine and lockdown. And all of the emails that we got of people either just checking in nicely for, you know, our health and safety, but a lot of the clients who were just like, can we order with you? A lot of them, the majority of them, were essential workers and nurses that were like, you know, I'm working 17 hours, I need a bra. Can I get one from you? I know the store is closed. So, and especially since we were closed during kind of our prime time with prom season, bridal season, graduations, vacations, those 3 months where we were kind of shut down. We're just like, oh, well, this is taking it one day at a time, I suppose, because then, yeah, the entire town was essentially shut down.
Well, congratulations on being back open. I know today has to be an exciting day for you, because I mean,
it is.
You said at noon. You said at noon, so that has to be like, I'm in LA, it's 8:30 here, so that has to be about an hour or so, half an hour from now.
Yeah.
No. Yes. So it's going to be a beautiful day. Congratulations. Gotta put that fist back up today. I'm gonna have a. We all got it up. Do it. We got it up for you. No, but the news is great. Here, one of the reasons I was on these different panels is because with everything going on in the world, all of a sudden, it's like everyone wanted to talk. Like all the people were called, like, can we talk to you? Can we speak to you? I'm like, oh, so now everybody wants to talk. But hey, better late than never. So congratulations. I'm glad you're getting the interest.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. Now, we did have another, we do have another guest, Nicole Banks. I wanted to be able to bring her on the show and talk about what she does, her product and her service. I don't know if we're going to be able to get her on the show this morning or not. We might be, but if she decides to join us, we'll have her in the conversation. I'll go back to Chandra for a minute. I wanted to talk to you specifically. Okay, we're going to go. Thank you for joining us. We have our next guest. Her name is Nicole Banks. She is the Chief Pretty Chick in charge at Shop Pretty Pieces. Good morning, Nicole. How are you? I'm gonna go ahead and unmute you.
I have been here so crazy, like right when I joined. I guess my husband had the lawn guy come. So I want you all to hear the riding lawnmower and all of the chaos outside of my window. But I have been here and I have been like, yes, girl, yes. And oh, I can't wait to hear your download. So I have been enjoying all of the dialogue. And I'm just so happy that you all are having me this morning.
Well, thank you. You look so beautiful. I'm so glad, because I saw you there, but I couldn't see you. I couldn't hear you. And I'm like, I don't know if she's having computer issues, technical difficulties, or what's going on. But I said, you know what? She's here. She showed up. So I'm just going to give you a shout out and start. But you look beautiful. And I'm all in everybody business. That's what I do. What do you have on? Like, that is cute. Like, did you make that?
No, I didn't. I did not make that. However, if I were still like really constructing pieces, this would be one of the pieces that I would have probably made. It is so fun. It's so fun. So it's dropping on my new collection on Sunday.
Okay. I'm gonna have to get a few of your pieces because I like your style. It has the denim, the jean that always, you know, represents hard working. That, yes. You know, that's what denim represents. But then you have the nice, demure, you know, but I'm still feminine. So I love that. I love that. So tell us about that. Oh, I didn't see. Oh, that is cute. That is cute. So tell us, you are, again, you came up with a different name and just instead of just saying the CEO. So tell us about yourself and what you do, Nicole.
Again, I am the Chief Pretty Chick in charge of shoppettypieces.com, where all things are pretty and we turn every day into a fashionably slayed runway. So I am a third generation seamstress. I have been sewing since I was 13. Grandma taught mama, mama taught me. And I am here. My 97-year-old grandmother still to this day, well, if she needs to jump on her sewing machine, she will. So fashion is like, it's like my bloodline or my birthright almost. I've been in this for all of my life. And what I decided was I wanted to create like a collection for women that were kind of shaped like me, like you kind of like a little bit smaller on the top and a little heavier on the bottom, because throughout my corporate career, I always had to alter and tailor everything. So it started off as a collection of separates, statement pieces, fun blouses, pencil skirts, everything had a little bit of stretch in it, you know, to accommodate us women with our hips. You know, as Black girls, we have our butts, our legs, our thighs. And so I wanted to make sure that we were able to be cutely covered in the workplace. And then some other retailers started to, you know, use our faces and our likeness. I was like, let me expand just a little bit so that my girls can have what they need and they can buy from, you know, someone that looks like them. So that is how we are here.
Wonderful. When did you launch your business?
In 2014.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yes, we have been around since 2014.
That's not easy. That is not easy.
No, at all. It's not easy at all. It has been one of the most challenging yet rewarding experiences in my 42 years of life. You know, it's like a lot of blood, sweat, tears, but I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So do you have an actual brick and mortar store?
I absolutely do. I have a full retail showroom on one of the busiest thoroughfares in our city. We are closed. We don't reopen until next Saturday. So I'm excited to get back in. We're doing some appointment only curbside pickups right now. But my girls, I call them my pretties. They are ready for that touch and feel experience that we provide over in our showroom. So yeah, next Saturday, I'm excited to get back and see all of my folks that I love so much. And, you know, just kind of navigating that. I don't want to call it post-COVID because COVID ain't going nowhere. But, you know, I want to try to figure out how we're going to navigate that space. We do have some personalized pretty pieces masks. We partner with the local company to provide hand sanitizers. I have pretty pieces and chill packs. So, you know, we're just adjusting to our new norm.
That's, girl, I got to put that fist up. That's what I got to do. We making it happen today. We are making it happen today. I love it. What city are you in?
Jacksonville, Florida.
I was hoping you was going to be like, I'm in Los Angeles or something, because I was like, I'm going to come right down to your shop right now, leave Long Beach, and I will be there and give me some curbside pickups or something, because just that, I haven't seen any more pieces, but just that top alone, I'm like, I love it, because I always like something that makes you feel a little sexy, you know what I mean? That's number one. But number two, when you walk in the room and you know that there's no one in there that has on your outfit because you didn't get it off the rack. I love that. Yeah. But people can order online, correct?
Yes, ma'am. ShopPrettyPieces.com. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We ship to every state in the United States, and I have it shipped to Hawaii, Alaska, Australia, UK, Canada, you name it. Wherever you are, I can get you your pieces.
I love it. See, we're going to have to do some partnership. We're going to have to figure out how to work together between...
Let's do it.
The fitting curve and you, is so much going on here. Yes. I love it. So the question, stay right with me. Don't go disappearing again. But okay. Chandra's showing me something. Chandra? Chandra?
I have an affiliate program because I like this two-piece outfit with the jacket. I'm sorry. I like this. You have an affiliate link. Like, I can sell some stuff too. If I, like, just asking.
No, that's a good question. We're revamping that program, so you just gotta put a pin in that, sis, and we will get right back to you. But yes, we do. You can actually be a part of the Pretty Posse. You can have your link and all these other great things. So yes ma'am, I got you.
Because okay, you have all this good stuff on here and I'm like wait a minute. She
When you send that link to Chandra, go on and send it over to me, because I would be a wholesaler or something. I'm going to add to my 15 businesses. And this is my 16th business that I'm going to have.
Well, that's pretty okay. Pieces. you got to have 7, right? So I'm like 16, 17, just line them up.
Yes. We're going to make some things happen. PR. I want to talk PR, Chandra. You have so many businesses around you. But I just want you to put your PR hat on for a minute. And I know all of you have publicists, PR representatives. We don't want to step on any toes. But Chandra, these are amazing women. I want you to give us some thoughts on spinning or promotion or whatever you have for our guests.
I think that because right now the climate is right, like being Black is lit now. We always been lit, but you got to understand something. A publicist could be pitching you for months and the outlets have not been receiving, even trying to put you on. But right now they're going to respond to that email that was sent 367 days ago with an excuse or something like that. You're going to see an influx of responses to the pitches that your publicist has been working extra hard for you to get on. So at this time, like, you have to look at the grace that publicists have asked for. And now people are going to finally see that, okay, wait a minute. So they did send that campaign out. They did send that pitch out. They did do that. And now they realize, like, as a Black business, how we were not, Black businesses were not newsworthy at a time. You know, they didn't feel like without an extraordinary story, it wasn't a big thing. It wasn't newsworthy. It wasn't worthy of a segment. It wasn't worthy of being recognized. But now you got to look at what's being done. So from a publicist standpoint, it's great because your client is going to have bookings, but it also plays into what was wrong back then when the story was relevant, you know, but why do you want to have us on now? So right now, I want y'all to bask in the glow of everything. Your publicist is going to be working very, very hard, you know, but bask in it, but also understand the underlying issue that Black publicists who we, the standard is so high for us, even though, like, my business partner and I, we said Black publicists do have to have a certain je ne sais quoi. We actually have to have a different finesse to pitch Black clients because they want people to, they don't understand that even though we think you're great, they're not going to have you on because you're great. So we have to deal with that backlash from clients thinking we're not doing anything, but it's these outlets who don't want to feature you guys. So right now, bask in that. Please applaud your publicists who are working very hard, because right now, if you look at the cues for what's being looked at, they want Black Lives Matter features. They want features on protests. If your business has been affected, you know, how are Black businesses coping with the influx of clients? Like, they want the hardship stories so that they can get the traction. So understand, like, even though you didn't feel like you were being looked at, like, you all about to be on the news, you know, in Long Island, y'all about to be on the news. Everybody's going to want to talk to that Black business because that's the focus right now. So please grant your publicist a little bit of grace and understanding, because right now it's a bunch of Apollo lies and excuses. I mean,
I hear you, because that's one of the things that I've seen here in Los Angeles, here in Long Beach. Again, people who want to talk. The Long Beach Post here, our newspaper, one of the largest newspapers, if not the largest newspaper in Long Beach, they put out an article earlier last week that said that they're creating a editorial panel where they make sure that people on this panel focus on diversity, making sure that there are African-American people on this panel to be able to bring in voices for all communities and not just focus on one. And the way the editor put it in his post was that in everything that he's done, he realized that he had neglected this specific area. And it was interesting because I keep going to everyone, I keep asking them, and they're like, Sharifa, you already know the answer. But I'll be like, Nicole, Kelly, Chandra, Ace, Stephanie, everyone, is it 2020? And they're like, yes. I was just making sure because I didn't know. Ace, you with us? Got a lot of ladies in the room?
Right.
He is very much so missing. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Ace, hello. We're trying to have a conversation. We're talking about marketing and promotion and PR and publicists. How much of what you did was organic? Or did you get to a point where you said, you know what, I need assistance with promotion, and you brought someone else in?
Yeah, so, you know, I have a marketing background. And so before I could ask for it to, and this is with everything, like, now I'm at the point where I am building out a team, not because I can't do something, but because I literally don't have the time to do something, where I wake up, and I have a to-do list and I'm crossing stuff off the to-do list. And then I go to sleep and my to-do list is longer than when I woke up. Like, that attitude of like, okay, well, you know, to be able to, you know, the business concept of being able to specialize in something actually helps you to scale. But at the beginning, you know, a PR agency is not going to want to work with you if you don't have a story to tell, if you don't have a narrative that they can you know, pitch. A booking agent doesn't want to work with you if you can't prove that you can even book shows. Folks don't even really want to volunteer with you if they don't believe that you have something worth volunteering for. And so from the very beginning, whether it was, you know, developing the artwork, like I said earlier, you know, I was an artist before all this stuff, like all the artwork I still do, for example, all the marketing assets and stuff like that, doing the record, I have a studio right behind me, you know, I record myself, things like that. And it was, you know, doing what I could piecemeal, finding like a YouTube beat to rap on at first, doing this, that, whatever, and putting something together, the MVP, if you will, to be like, yo, this is what I think will hit. I think this is dope. And I, you know, put it out there, market it, was booking my own shows, getting folks, you know, da 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 da. Now it's like, okay, I have producers that I work with, like solely, you know what I mean? I'll just text and be like, yo, I'm feeling hungry for some beats, and just like beats will come, right? So like that whole process has just gotten a lot easier. I have an engineer that I work with. Now I have somebody that's, you know, the like being on this show, for example, right? I have somebody that I work with that is handling the reach outs, right? And having the conversations on my behalf. But, you know, I have that experience even now, you know, I'm still getting through DMs like, yo, we want to talk to you, da 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 da. And because I have that experience of being able to, you know, pitch myself, it's like, I could still do it, but you know, that takes away from my ability to focus on the music or maybe focus on the marketing campaign or maybe focus here and there, whatever. So right now you like, you caught me in a good time because I'm in this like transition point of like, okay, scaling. And what does scaling look like? And also, you know, just as somebody that's been so hands-on, I think the difficult, and maybe y'all could relate to this because y'all are all businesswomen as well, is like when you are so hands-on and you have to delegate the feeling of like, oh, well, I'm so like with it that to let go sometimes is harder than, you know, you might initially think. Like on paper, it's like, oh yeah, like I need this person, da, 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 da. But then in practice, it's like, do I really want to give you my password so you can run my account? Like I've been good this whole time, right? Or like, do I really want you to understand my finances? Like, cause I know how to subtract cost from revenue myself. Like why? And so just like having that letting go process, like I'm literally in it. I know on paper, I need to do it and I'm doing it, but it's growing season right now, so.
Well, that's good. I applaud you for doing that. And I feel the same way. I always tell people one of my biggest weaknesses is delegating, you know, and it, for all the reasons that you mentioned, but the other reasons are that I'm a perfectionist. I want it done perfect. I don't want it done right. I want it done perfect to my standards. And then people always tell me that I respond fast on emails. Like if anybody who's emailed me, if you send me an email, it's on my phone, I'll usually get right back to you. Then you have other people who are like, you know what, I'll get to it. I'll get to it in a couple of days. I'll take care of it. It's like, I love that instant gratification of getting it done right now. I wanted to go back over to Nicole real quick. What has been your experience as a female, as an African-American, as a business owner recently, as far as have people reached out to you more to talk or to get what, you know, what's on your mind, and in general in business over the last few months, what have been your feelings and thoughts and what's going on with you?
So, yeah. So before COVID, I have a really dynamic story. So it's really unique in nature with some of the things that I went through that led up to me becoming an entrepreneur. However, you know, it wasn't crickets, but it's on overdrive now, you know, because I'm one of those people who I believe that the best marketer wins. And I think that the squeaky wheel gets the oil, and I'm a squeaky wheel. Mm-hmm. I'm always forefront. I always put my business in people's faces. So you always see me. And so I was always there. But again, you know, to your point, now I see the DMs. I see the emails, you know, I do have representation as well. And she gets those inquiries a little bit more now. but from my perspective, just being African American in this culture, in this climate, if I can be really, really transparent, you know, I just feel like, you know, a lot of the other, you know, retailers that don't look like me, but maybe their brand position looks like mine, you know, it's touchy. Can I just say that? It's a touchy, sensitive subject for me. especially because, you know, sometimes we discount and we discredit being Black and owning a business. Our people sometimes discredit us, and they may, you know, so this has really been touchy. It's really been a tough, but what I will say is, just me being authentic, I'm very authentic. I will laugh and tell anybody, the only thing fake about me is my wig. And I will just put that in your face. And I will,
it's,
you
know, cute,
just,
though. It's cute.
But you know, but it was not like this yesterday. I looked different yesterday, but I digress. But I like to show up. I'm personable. Although I have a customer service staff, I still am very much involved. I'm involved in my day-to-day. And I really like to be connected to my customers, just to let them know, you know, that, you know, regardless of the fact this is a Black-owned business or not, I care about you and I stock what I know you need and I have your best interest at heart, because, you know, there's psychology when you put clothes on. So again, despite how difficult it is being Black in America right now, being Black as an entrepreneur right now, you know, I've taken that, that toughness and turned it into, you know, more of a passion, you know?
I love it. I love it. I know we can all relate. One of the things that I will say that I kind of get a feeling that was in the words that were unsaid and what you were saying is my personal experience is everything started to happen. And it was so many Black people who were in an outrage. I ran for Long Beach City Council and I started the campaign in August. And it went to March 3rd through the primary, the March 3rd primary election. And I had so many community events and voter registration and events to start Black businesses. That was part of the focus, is let's get in business, let's make our money. And that's when it was crickets. It was no, you know, nobody was interested in voting registration or what's going on in our community and the homeless rate. There, nobody cared to a certain extent. But then when everything happened, it was like, we got to make a change. We got to make a difference. We got to support our Black businesses. And I'm like, I've been in business, you know, for years, and there, no one was really beating a path to my door. And now all of a sudden it's like, I can't even get to the door because everybody wants to talk about how I feel. And I'm like, okay, I get it. So I just wanted to add that. I am coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who's listening live, as well as everyone who's listening in the archives, and really let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. And we're going to start with you, Kelly.
Hi. Biggest takeaway is that we're here and we're open, and we're ready to serve our community and people at large across the country, because we do ship and we do personalized services. So if you DM us or email us, we'll definitely reach out and then we'll make it work.
Absolutely. Stephanie?
Yeah, I mean, to piggyback off of what Kelly said, you know, we've been anxious not being within our store, and we appreciated all the support with people reaching out while we were closed. And so we're excited to reopen finally today after 3 months. Yeah, and I'm ready to see familiar faces. And for everyone listening and for everyone watching, like you mentioned, there is a ton of reach out for Black businesses. So, you know, be patient, continue to support and continue to share, because the exposure is a lot, it's overwhelming, but it's very well appreciated.
Yeah, Helen?
I just wanna say, you know, we were talking about PR. Thank you to Sean McKinley, which is our PR person. He has done an amazing job. He has, you know, stuck through it with us from the beginning and continues to work very hard on a daily basis. So I really appreciate that. But to piggyback off what Stephanie and Kelly have said, we are so excited to be back. We are passionate about what we do. You know, customers coming in makes our day. It's, you know, like, I forgot. Pretty pieces what Nicole said. You know, our customers coming in and leaving with a well-fitting bra and the right undergarments, you know, the clothing and your undergarments does change your outlook throughout the day. It does put a pep in your step. So this is what we enjoy doing, and we are so appreciative for all our customers, and we're happy for them to come back.
Well, congratulations to the three of you. Congratulations on everything that you're doing. I definitely applaud you. If I was there, I'd definitely check you out on the news, but feel free to send me a clip because I'll post it on the Roundtable Talk Show social media, as well as the Sharifa Hardy social media, and get some people in your area know of what you're doing. So please send that to me. Ace, what do you have for us?
Thank you, Sharifa, for having me on. Thank you, guests, for an awesome conversation. I learned a lot and definitely want to do whatever I can on my end to just plug my network into everything y'all have going on because it's amazing. Thank you, Brianna, my PR that helped me get to this moment and have this conversation with y'all. And call me Ace. Like I mentioned earlier, I have a album that I'm dropping in 2 weeks, raising money to give to the cause of fighting racial injustice, social unrest, mass incarceration, et cetera. If you're willing to support me in this fundraising, I'm hoping to get $5,000 raised. You can go to store.callmeace.com and it should be a simple process to make it all happen.
And absolutely.
Yeah, music everywhere, Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, even if you use Pandora, I'm wherever you're at. So appreciate you.
Yeah, everybody, I don't know why, somehow this turned into like a whole shout out to your PR team kind of conversation. And I love it. I think that's great because Brianna actually stands out to me because Brianna was one of the few people that actually picked up the phone and called and she talked. And
she's dope. One thing that I wanted to say earlier when we were talking about it is like, What I'm grateful about, like going through the experience of like doing it, and you were mentioning too, is like you have a certain sense of work ethic that you're okay with, right? And like you don't accept lesser. And like what I'm really thankful about her and like everyone that's been on my team is like, you know, they work at that level or if not more. And that's what just the fact that I could just like, you know, hands up, like, oh wow, like you're really killing it. You know what I mean? Off of day one till now. Is like those are the type of people where I'm loyal with my people, so she's really cool, and she's from Bridgeport, Connecticut, which is where I'm from, so it's all love.
That is wonderful. So shout out, hey, to Brianna. Chandra, what do you have for us, darling?
I want to say thank y'all because y'all have no idea how hard it is sometimes as a publicist. Like, I mean, I'm a business consultant at the same time, but the publicist part of it is getting people to understand we're delivering an intangible product here. So I'm thankful that y'all shouted y'all publicists out. I feel, thank you. But I guess I want to tell everyone that I have a upcoming book release as well, but I would like for you all to follow and stay abreast of what's going on in your area when it comes to voting. I will always preach that because I want people to understand and use their voice. I'm glad that you're donating to these amazing causes, Ace. Both of you ladies, Pretty Pieces and The Fitting Curve, y'all are much needed because I know what it's like to have a good bra. Okay, that is very necessary. But for me, I just have so much, I have a laundry list of things, but thank you, Sharifa, for always.
Come back. We'll talk about it.
My business partner and I will be back next month because we're talking about, you know, why Black publicists are needed and your voice needs to be told by someone who understands your story. So that's the biggest thing that we need to understand. Like, it's easy to hire someone, but it's better to hire someone who understands you and can actually fall in line with your team. But that's a whole nother conversation.
Right. And we go get to that. You are amazing, though. The one thing that I almost forgot and I wanted to mention is the last time you were on the show, we finished the show. And then all of a sudden, I got like 4 alerts of people who had scheduled themselves for the Roundtable Talk Show. Oh, yeah. In the refer box, it was like Chandra Gore. I was like, oh,
because yes. I feel like it's necessary. Like, my clients, I have to tell them that they have to use their voice. And if I feel comfortable going on a platform, they should feel comfortable going on that platform too, because I wouldn't do anything that I wouldn't, you know, suggest for my clients. And so they are absolutely, they listen. They actually listen, y'all.
They did, because I saw it. Yeah. Yes. So,
and I thank you so much for sharing your platform.
You are welcome. We've been having fun over these last 2 months, have we? 3 months now. Yes. So we're going to talk some more. I know you're going to come back. I'm going to be on your podcast. We're going to make some things happen. Nicole, what do you have for us? Go ahead and take this out.
So I do have a new collection that'll be dropping on Sunday and Monday live, my pretty party. It is the Moscato Monday edition of my pretty party. Facebook and Instagram live, I have my DJ, DJ Miss Tan, and my in-house bartender, Pretty Girl Riri with Pretty Tenders. And we are going to be going through some cute fashions and we are going to have a ball. I got a couple other things coming up. I do have some boutique education courses that are coming up. So do shout out my publicist who has to put up with me because I am a handful. So thank you so much, Tabitha, for dealing with me and all of my glory. I have so thoroughly enjoyed this. I look forward to maybe connecting with each of you offline. And thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome. It is a pleasure. Y'all go ahead and connect. Everybody's shouting out their publicists. I wish I had a publicist to shout out. Maybe somebody want to help a sister. You ain't talked to me, Shonda. You ain't called. You ain't decided to help a sister out. We going to talk. I got to go because these ladies have to open that store and I'm taking up all of their time. But I told you, the Roundtable Talk Show, we have fun. We also learn a lot. And I learned a lot today. We had a great time. Please share the show. Please take a look at the descriptions in the post and support our businesses. Support these people, our guests on the show. Follow them on social media. And when you follow them, make your first tweet. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Until Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. And if you want to be on the show, please visit the website at AskSharifa.com. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.